What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. This is the Backstage Report. Gosh, I've done almost 200 of these over the years here at Fightful, and this is one of the first ones I've done live. I've done like live Q&A combos and stuff like that, but gosh, I would say less than 3 to 5% of these have been live. For those of you who don't know, because I know a lot of you signed up last week, this is usually about a 15 to 20 minute show that kind of recaps our exclusive news and details from last week. Not just stories that we reported, but things that other people reported that we can add to. And it sort of puts a bow on the week, so to speak. And like even as I look in here, like I can see that the growth that we've had on Fightful Select over the past week, it's incredible. And let me raise up my seat a little bit here. I just want you guys to know we ain't stopping here. We're going to keep adding things that you guys want. For those of you who are new, we have dozens of things in the archives. We have dozens of retro reviews, figure haul videos. We have a segment we used to do called Stupid People News. There's plenty of those as well. A lot of content, dark match commentary that is evergreen. So there are literally hundreds of things in our archives, and you can scroll up to the tab at the top of the Fightful Select Patreon page, and you'll be able to see a lot of those tabs. Like we've got a ton of things that maybe you didn't know. Jimmy Van wrote a book one time. That was a thing that happened. Occasionally we'll do specials, but we've got, as I look, 55 episodes of Figure Haul, 11 of Card Haul. We have 18 alternate commentary. We're adding magazine archives too from Fightful Magazine. So you're going to be seeing a lot of those articles on there, but just an incredible number of things. We're going to have our 200th Q&A that we've ever done next week, but we're going to keep adding. So if there's anything that you guys want to see, let me know and I'll do my best to add it. If I think that it'll reflect well on our audience, but we're here to talk about the big week that was. Of course, it's not just going to be the CM Punk stuff, but if you guys aren't fatigued with that, we're gonna do that. I'm gonna have an everything that we know about the situation sort of wrap up coming, because there's an awful lot of things that have emerged even since last week. It's just I kind of laid off that for a few days because, man, I think there was some fatigue going on there. But we still got a lot of great stories. Josh says, is it on Select? I want to read. Yes, if you go to the Fightful Select, if you want to go to the Fightful Select page, there should be tags or something, and there's books, and it's the bottom one. There's one book there. So check it out, guys. We got a lot of stuff in addition to all that. And again, I think, let me see how many retro reviews. Over 40 retro reviews as well. They're going to keep coming. I did some of them. Warren Hayes did. Rob Wilkins. But let's get into the Fightful Wrestling Weekly. And if you guys want some questions answered, I'll do my best. We'll sort of get a lot of the stuff out of the way that isn't Punk, et cetera, related. I'm told John Morrison set to debut an unusual gimmick in AAA soon. I don't necessarily know what that's about, but I heard it's the original pitch was teetering on very weird. Luke Hawks, he's in the new season of Cobra Kai. He's also helping cast Young Rock. He's on heels with on Stars, helping cast that as well, helping promote the new NWA show. So congrats to him. I was told the Queen's passing is not supposed to affect the GCW show as of yet. I've been told the show must go on, so to speak. Have I asked about the BTE being stopped for a bit? Yeah, I mean, it's happening for exactly the reasons that you think. Lady Frost. So PW Insider followed up on our report about Lady Frost asking for our release, for her release being rejected. Impact was not happy about my report. I'd been reaching out to them via numerous sources for several times since she asked for the release until I finally got the word. It was only after we ran that story that they said, well, she was supposed to put over Masha. And then I reached back out to the other side of things and they're like, well, here's the line of communication and here's where it ended. I think that there was just a communication breakdown there. I'm going to work some more on that. Speaking of communications and breaking down a few things, Malachi Black, it seems like he is effectively done. I don't expect this to be announced. So I was told that Malachi Black had asked for his release. And I want to say this. People close to Malachi apparently wanted it known that he was battling some things. And that's why he wanted out. So I think that that should be known when we're talking about like Raj Geary reporting that he had asked for his release. But I was told that something had changed over All Out Week, All Out Weekend, because just a few days before that, I was told that that wasn't true and he wasn't going to be released, and that they had a good conversation with him and it seemed like things were in a better place. Will Washington asked at the post-show scrum. He was told there was nothing to his question. Well, then we're told, well, he's effectively done. So I've got a little bit of insight on that. Based on what I've heard, people believe he's done and there's a quote-unquote conditional release. That's talent. That is some people around AEW. And it would come with a lengthy non-compete. Now, from what I understood, AEW believes that the door is still open there. And if at some point during that non-compete, he was like, you know what? I want to come back. Let's just restart this deal. I think AEW would be welcoming of that. That's why I don't expect a lot of publicity surrounding that. You know what I mean? He did cancel an appearance over this past weekend. But sending love to Malachi Black. Hope everything's good. Hope he does better. He is such a special performer. He is so good. I really admire his work. And AEW had hoped that he was going to be a part of that brand for years to come. People are asking how long the non-compete is. I've heard some people speculate as long as a year or as long as 2 years. I've heard some say a year, but I've not had it confirmed whatsoever. Dave says, is that why Black is still on the roster page? Well, I don't think that really means anything. Because if you look at the roster page, Alan Angels is still on there. He is not signed in any way, shape, or form. But Bobby Fish is gone. So he's still on there. I mean, Colt Cabana hasn't wrestled in AEW in months. He's still on there. Kong was on there for a very, very long time. Melanie was on there for a long time before she ended up hitting the bricks. So it's very, very hard to tell. AQA retired and she's still on there. Young Bucks. So Ryan Frederick on the Observer message board said that the Young Bucks had sent out feelers within WWE to gauge possible interest. Now, there is somebody that I talked to. They swore up and down, yeah, this is true. This is They wanted to talk to somebody in management, and I trust that person, but I did speak to somebody very close to the Young Bucks. They were like, no, we've not been given any indication that this is the case. And I mean, honestly, I would figure that those were the people that they would reach out to if they wanted to, right? Like, and then I had a person who works with higher ups that are like, well, I don't know what they'd need to send feelers out for. In the Young Bucks side of things are saying that they didn't, but that's people that work with higher ups in WWE are like, I don't know what they need to send feelers out for because they were already close to signing in 2018. They've only gotten higher in profile, and Triple H is a far more like Young Bucks friendly type of boss than Vince McMahon would have been. People in WWE have heard the rumor, though. It was going around in August. I had heard that as well. It's just I didn't have enough to sort of run on it, but I can follow up on another report or another indication. Admittedly, this is a message board post, but I mean, Ryan Frederick knows people. Like it ain't like he's out there talking to people completely blind. So, I mean, he's talked to somebody that has been given that indication, but I can tell you that people that are close to the Bucks don't, or at least haven't heard of that. Danny Limelight is a free agent. MLW no longer in business with him, but we're told that it was amicable and that he's open to doing appearances with them in the future and vice versa. He was with AEW for a brief period until last year, but was sort of the partnership was dissolved there. I was told that they wanted his maturity in the ring to match his maturity outside the ring, or his maturity outside the ring to match his maturity inside the ring. But this had nothing to do with that. I was told that he was pretty easy to deal with in MLW. There was a lot of bad timing. I even reached out to Danny, and he was like, man, I loved working with 5150, but Slice got hurt. Conan had health issues and they didn't have anything creative for me. So asked for my release. They were very, very gracious in granting such a thing. So all love there. And it seems like they're fine with one another. Got lots of people like speculating in the chat, like, oh, Kevin Owens. Guys, you all almost never get it right when you all guess who these people I talk to are. It's just, sorry. You all just almost never guess it right. Ciampa, I spoke to him about going up to the main roster, because when I interviewed him a couple years ago, he said that if he had ever thought that having to go to Raw or SmackDown was a thing, he would have never signed with WWE. Well, that's obviously changed. And he told me that because of his neck and learning to work with his neck and not be hurt, and his ability to stay safe in that regard and wrestle and not be in pain afterwards, that's what made him say, you know what, I'm going to do Raw and SmackDown. He said that he was given a lot more freedom on Raw Talk. And even Miz encouraged him to improvise along the way, and that now very popular promo that he did. He also spoke about the Cruiserweight Classic, said originally he wasn't on that list, and said that he went to William Regal and said, just put me in the ring with Johnny. So Regal said, why don't you pitch that to Triple H? And he did, and it ended up happening. So good for him. Some WWE notes. There was a change to the main event match last week. Supposed to be Cedric and Shelton. Reggie ended up being in the match instead of Cedric. Not sure why. We had reported there aren't significant imminent creative plans for Veer right now. That can change any given week. Jason Jordan had to triple up on assignments last week. They have still scaled back producer usage. I don't know why that is. Maybe I can find out. But a lot of guys getting extra duty there. Oh, boy. Ricky Starks, Bobby Fish news. A lot of people were like, oh, Ricky's got to be hurt. He's got to be on his way out. He's not hurt. There were rumors, dark Twitter rumors, which at this point, guys, like, I know some of you are like, oh, it's a nothing update. I get so many questions based on any little account that, and I'm not trying to minimize accounts or anything. Like, followers does not matter at all. But like, anytime any account tweets like anything, I get like 15, 16, 200 messages about it. And I'm like, okay, well, if my audience wants to know about this, well, all right. We'll do our best to we'll do our best to clarify it. But he hadn't signed a new deal. He hadn't asked for his release. Stan Grubb says, LOL, dark Twitter. It is a reference from Les Moore of gosh, Talking Sheet. It was like a dirt sheet for the dirt sheets, and he would say dark Twitter rumors, and that's where I picked it up from. So shout out to him. But I think that whenever that type of stuff happens, it's like a thing where a lot of times I'm like, do I even need to address it? But you know what, if you guys are interested in it and it's extra content for Fightful and it's something I can easily debunk, well, We'll do that then. We'll do that. Bobby Fish. So we had reported that Bobby Fish's deal was not being renewed. They couldn't come to financial terms on a deal. They didn't have a lot creatively for him anyway. Cole and O'Reilly were both hurt. O'Reilly's going to be out for a very long time. Haven't heard WWE's reached out to him. There were some indicators that he was on his way out. He worked his first indie date since joining AEW on August 20. Started a podcast after that. Began doing some interviews on shows that AEW doesn't usually grant. He was very critical of CM Punk's worked kick, and he was not a big fan of CM Punk. But in the midst of all this, I had people that, I don't want to say they were burying CM Punk, but they were not fans of CM Punk, who they didn't reach out to me to stand up for him for what he said at the scrum or the fight. But in regards to what Bobby Fish said, I had numerous people, including one that specifically told me that they outright just dislike Punk. And they're like, well, Punk wasn't wrong there. Punk had come back the month before and Bobby Fish kicked out of his finish at 3.1 while Punk was selling hardcore for Bobby Fish. So Bobby Fish had said, oh, well, Punk was a cunt there. And then he had later admitted that he was petty. So, I mean, even the locker room, and they're not, there wasn't anybody burying Bobby Fish by any stretch of the imagination. They're just like, well, if anything, Punk had a real reason to be upset there. Like, why wouldn't he be upset? He just came back. If that was a part of the story that maybe he doesn't have it all back yet, that's one thing. But everybody that I talked to were like, this motherfucker kicked out of his finish. Like, why wouldn't he be mad? Why wouldn't he be upset unless he had cleared it before? And if you watch that clip back, which big thanks to Will Washington for finding that clip and posting it, because that jogged a couple people's memory. But you look at that, Punk was selling his ass off for Bobby Fish. He hit his finish and had to drag himself over to the pin. He was doing his best to make Fish look like $1 million. Oh, man. Now, listen, would I watch a fight with CM Punk and Bobby Fish? You're goddamn right I would. You're goddamn right I would. I watched Adrian Peterson fight Le'Veon Bell this past weekend. I watched two social media guys I have no clue about fight this weekend. I watched Swaggy P fight this weekend. Hell yeah, I'd watch him fight. I think it'd be a good fight in its own way. Bobby Fish has trained for a long time, and CM Punk has trained with some high level people. So I don't know how that would go. I can't believe I'm even entertaining this, but hell yeah, I'd watch that fight. Get out of here. Come on, man. Like actual MMA fights with pro wrestlers, I would love it. Somebody's saying Punk shouldn't have taken so long to cover. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? He was selling for Bobby Fish. He was making Bobby Fish look better. He wasn't trying to bury him or anything. Come on. That was still during the honeymoon phase. The hell are we talking about here? So again, I'm going to post this report. And I'm trying to get some more eyes on it and all that before I publish it. But it is sort of a collection of all the stuff that we know and has been reported about Punk and Elite and all that stuff. So we're going to spend some time on that. So as you guys saw, I'm sure some of you, on the All Out post show, we were getting news fast and furious during that. I had wrestlers that were reaching out to me and were already upset about what Punk was saying at the scrum. Like, there was already people heated. And that was like midway through it. Then there was the altercation backstage, and we started to get news about that. And I was getting word, hey, people are running through here, et cetera, et cetera. But there was already heat on CM Punk at the scrum when the scrum happened. There was some heat on him before that, but nothing that I don't think he could have overcome. If he would have gotten to a room and said, hey, listen, I'm sorry. He doesn't got to make up with Colt Cabana, just, you know, any of that stuff. Whatever. But there were a lot of people upset over him burying the company. Even people that don't like the Young Bucks were like, well, good God. And Kenny were like, he's burying the company in this sense. So even before that, before the thing started, okay, yeah, there was plenty of heat there. CM Punk sort of set up Nick Houseman to, you know, run through the history of Colt Cabana. You can find all those quotes out there. Immediately afterwards, like during the show, I was getting messages that a physical altercation happened. Now, at that point, I wasn't sure if it was happening then or this is something like I was just learning about from weeks prior. But then it was pretty quick that, okay, this is happening now. This is happening minutes ago. There were some people that were like, is it a work? Is it a work? I had WWE people messaging me all night long, like, give me the updates. There was heavy interest in this in WWE. Some believed that the Elite were scheduled for the scrum, but that an adjustment was made after Punk's portion of it. That wasn't confirmed. I will say this. A lot of talent put over Chris Jericho for standing up for the AEW locker room and how he handled things at the scrum. There was a lot of people, or were a lot of people, that were really, really complimentary of how he did that. And I mean, I was getting these wild real-time updates on one of the biggest shows that we've ever done. Whew. So then word came out, Punk, Ace Steel, members of the Elite involved in a physical confrontation. I have to make this abundantly clear. We are not operating in facts at this time. Anything beyond that, we are not operating in facts. Mad Dog says, if the Punk Bucks thing goes to court, can wrestling media potentially get subpoenaed? I doubt it. I really doubt it. Sorry, I'm getting news right now, but I doubt it. There's so little of that actually matters in that sense. If there was something, now that I'm not a legal expert here, but I'll kind of get into that in the future. But if they started to bury Punk on TV, well, I mean, that could be played off of maybe something that the media reported. But I want to say, not only is this he said, she said from this point on, it's he, she said all that. One of the only things that we can determine actually happened was that Kenny Omega got bit by Ace Steel. And there was pretty, from what I understand, there's pretty indisputable proof that Kenny Omega got bit. Both sides agreed that a chair was thrown. Both sides agreed there was a physical confrontation. Nakazawa, Brandon Cutler, Pat Buck, Christopher Daniels were in the room. Everybody got suspended on that side of things. We haven't really heard specifically what's going to happen with Punk and Ace Steel, but it's a moot point because as Fightful Select reported last week, Punk tore his triceps during the All Out match. So he was going to be out anyway. So I got people that are saying, well, if they suspend him, it's kind of fucking superficial, right? Unless it's without pay. It's just Ace Steel came in there very aggressively. Now, there are the Punk Steel sides of things that say that the Elite came in aggressively. And then there's versions that say that Kenny Omega came in a little bit afterwards. They have leaned out of the, oh, they kicked the door down. And when I even heard that, I asked the person before I said it. I was like, are you sure? I was like, is this what you want me to relay to the world? Because let me tell you, it's going to become a meme. People are going to think it's ridiculous, or they're going to run with it. And they said, yeah, that's what happened. That's what happened. I said, all right. And then they backtracked on it a couple days later. They're like, oh, maybe that was hyperbole. But maybe they forced their way in. Shoulder, kick, we couldn't see. But I mean, like, you know, people acting like they super kicked the door down or all that. I tried to call the venue to see if they had a door broke down even. Like, police, I got a hold of them. They said that they hadn't dispatched anybody out there for anything besides a family matter there. But there were, you know, there were people on Punk's side that said, well, Steel was, you know, he thought that his wife was in a compromising position, so that's why this happened. There were people on Punk's side that said, well, he didn't want to talk to anybody because either he was talking to his wife or he was getting medical attention, some varied things on that. And at no point did I think we were going to operate in absolutes here. So you can't take any of this as absolute. You can't, you just can't necessarily run, you know, do that. And hey, we talk about wrestling rumors here. That's going to happen sometimes, but I don't think we're ever going to know the real full story unless they all get together and they have a laugh over it. And they're like, okay, let's tell the story. Let's tell our truth together. Ace Steel was involved in it. Ace Steel was the most damaging person from what I understand. And by all accounts, Cutler, Buck, Daniels, Nakazawa all got suspended. from what I understand, just anybody who was in the room and sort of like made contact with anybody got suspended. And that's again, not dealing in absolutes. There are versions that say that Mega, the chief legal officer of AEW, were there, that Jericho popped in at one point, that MJF witnessed it. Still working to find out all that. But a lot of cursing, mayhem, and a lot of people not being willing to hash it out was what I was told. The Elite side of things basically said that Kenny Omega was trying to save Larry the dog, who was going crazy during this situation, and passed off the dog, tried to pull off somebody from one of the Bucks, and then as a result, Ace Steel ended up biting him, pulling his hair. Again, all allegations, all one side of things. Had a lot of people saying, where was Hangman? Where were FTR? Well, they were gone. Not only that, Dax separated himself from that situation. He posted on Twitter that he and about 20 others in the locker room bonded over a bottle of bourbon that Cher Delaware gifted them last week, which is bottled 10 minutes from my front door, by the way. So they weren't there. I don't think Hangman was there either. But Jesus Christ, man. So they would not have been in any condition to have a gang war situation unfold. There were conflicting views of who started this. Some that we spoke to believe that Punk should have expected to be confronted after the things he said. Another person said that Omega and the Bucks aggressively approached the locker room. There was word that the Bucks even said, oh, should we do this? And then when told no, they did it anyway. I can't confirm that. All of this, he said, she said at this point, except for Omega got bit, a chair got thrown, there was a physical altercation. Oh, man. So, even in the days that followed, we learned that CM Punk had that injury. He isn't going to be around until 2023 at the very least. There was a little bit of sympathy as it related to MJF's return for some. But generally, everybody was like, well, listen, if there's one person we can't really feel bad for, it is MJF, because nobody was talking about CM Punk when he won the title. Nobody was talking about Wardlow when Wardlow beat MJF. It was MJF, the plane ticket, is he gone? Is this a shoot? Is this a work? Et cetera, yada, yada, blah, blah, blah. What a mess, man. What a mess. So there was a talent meeting, a series of meetings, really, that led up to AEW Dynamite. But there was a talent meeting called with Jericho, Bryan Danielson, and Jon Moxley heading it up. And let me tell you, if there is one group of people that you want leading a talent meeting, it's probably them. It's probably them. Because for all that Punk said about who had been where, they've all been to the mountaintop, a little bit everywhere. Right? New Japan, WWE, Ring of Honor. They've done it all. They've done it all. AEW even. And not a lot emerged from that. So I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark, and I'm going to say that they were like, hey, I know that they told people to keep their dirty laundry in house, but that carried so much more weight, because honestly, what happens almost every time that a talent meeting is held and they say, oh, don't leak to the sheets, these people are like, oh, you paying my medical coverage? Then I'll talk to who the fuck I want. This was different. And not only that, I had people that reached out to me to be like, hey, we're not going to give you the intimate details of this because we do respect these people. And they respected Jon Moxley, who we had reported before All Out that a top guy was supposed to take time off. He confirmed on Wednesday that was him. I was told it was supposed to be 6 weeks. One of his friends said that as well. He was supposed to be back in time for the Cincy show. He sucked it up. He carried that flag over his head. Bryan Danielson, I've been told, is a calming, welcoming, entertaining presence backstage. And Chris Jericho, I've just been told, is a leader. And I want to say, especially over the last like year or so, I've heard that he has really stepped it up in that regard. And there was a lot of respect. There were a lot of happy people that sort of emerged from that. Talent weren't told explicitly what was supposed to become of CM Punk. Most of them are under the impression that it's all pending an investigation. We spoke with numerous people on the staff and roster, and there was just a lot of heat on them. Now, the sort of bad attitudes around it did get alleviated an awful lot by that talent meeting. So there were a lot more people that were emerging from the talent meeting thinking, let's get to work, let's do this, let's show. Even though there wasn't like a ton of ill will towards everybody, they lost out on four of their top stars. And now there's an awful lot of TV time open. A whole lot of TV time open. And there were a lot of people that I talked to that were like, yep, let's get to work, let's do this shit. And there were some people that didn't really care anyway. Like, I mean, I asked a very respected person, like, what type of wrestling argument is worth not making money off of this? And they said nothing. There ain't nothing, because this is the biggest buzz. I talked to a top star in WWE who has a track record of selling houses and merch and everything. And they said, if they can't get into a room and hash this out and make a bunch of money off of it, none of them have any business saying who or what draws. And when I would talk to them later on in the week, they're like, all right, whoever holds that up from happening should just has no reason, no excuse to talk about who draws what houses, who's bringing in what gates, who does anything like that. I mean, this is, it happens with such frequency at this point, you know, people assume everything's a work. And I mean, I heard it with the MJF thing. I heard it with the Cody thing. I heard it when Mox left WWE. Heard all this stuff. It's a work. 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 Buddy, I have caught two works in the middle of happening, and we didn't report on them as if they weren't works. So like we do track this stuff down. We do figure it out. I can tell you guys, Eddie Kingston, Sammy, obviously not a work. The MJF thing became a work, and I have been given indications that once Double or Nothing happened, that's when it became that. And even the Double or Nothing day, still a little bit foggy to me, but after the meet and greet, pretty like that's when I'm pretty sure that they're like, let's figure this shit out. And they did. People thought Matt Hardy and Edge was a work back in the day. People thought a lot of stuff was, but this ain't a work, guys. Challenge Mania says, do you think the UFC presser situation last week put things in perspective? The AEW altercation might be a bit overblown and affecting the immediate future of AEW a bit more than necessary. Everything's getting overblown. I mean, listen, I do good work. I know I do good work. I know I do reliable work. But a lot of times it is making a story out of stuff that, you know, isn't necessarily a story. But the way I look at it is, if I'm interested, somebody else will be. Our audience likely will be, right? And that's what I'm here for. We monetize any exclusive information that we have. If you got the skills to go out and find information that other people don't have, or to verify or debunk things that other people can or can't, well, then let's do that. But there's going to be a whole lot of things. Like, I'm interested in every facet of wrestling. I'm interested to learn who produces what matches on Raw, so we're able to find that out, right? And we're able to post that here. It's not going to be for everybody. Not every story is going to be CM Punk coming back to wrestling or Cody Rhodes leaving. Sometimes it's going to be Danny Limelight leaving MLW. And you know what? That's exclusive information too. He's a great performer. Sometimes it'll be debunking Stan Twitter thinking that Jenny left WWE because for some reason they put her on the alumni page. That's the nature of the gig. We figure it out. We try our best to get answers. We're not going to have all the answers. We're not going to have all the right predictions or anything like that. But I'm also very fortunate that we're in a subjective entertainment business as well, where I can be objective in reporting and subjective in reviewing. And it's unique. It's almost the only field in athletics in any capacity in which we can do that. Dave Langer says, do you think people are making it a bigger deal because the Bucks are EVPs? Fights happen a lot backstage, but the EVPs makes it worse. Well, yeah, and because there's so many ingredients involved. There's four people, not even four people. There's four people, four top talent involved. There's a bunch of coaches involved. They're integral figures like Jericho and MJF and Mega Parrot, who are apparently just there like, damn, this shit's wild. Whew. Thank you guys very much for your kind comments. I'm thinking about doing some more shows on Select, guys. Like, my wife's a school teacher, and I get here on Tuesday nights, and I'm like, damn, do I want to sit around and play video games all night, or do I want to chat some shit? So I might start doing a late night show or something here and there, late night stream to add some value to Select. But I went on a big emotional tangent last week on The List Goes On when we hit 10,000. We've since hit 11,000. I'm sure we've peaked at 11,100. I can't possibly imagine how we could do more than that. But maybe I'll find out, because Will Washington just said Ask Grapsity is this week. Well, shit, yeah. Hell yeah. KK says, can we get game streams on Select? Maybe. We've got a Twitch as well. What games you playing? Okay, I'm going to be playing the Scott Pilgrim game next week because it's coming out on PlayStation Premium. Turtles, I've replayed Turtles in Time last week on the Cowabunga Collection. Shredder's Revenge is my new favorite game ever. I play a lot of MLB The Show. I play a lot of Madden. Occasionally, I fire up GTA. Wreckfest, I play that sometimes. Yeah. Destiny FOMO has me maybe wanting to play Splatoon. So if I fire up my Switch, I might play that. Jesse says, I've been curious about the Scott Pilgrim game. Beat-em-ups are my favorite. I love beat-em-ups besides, you know, baseball games. But yeah, what are my thoughts on the MLB rule changes they announced? I hate the shift rule. Learn to hit opposite field or bunt. I love the bigger bases rule because that's a safety thing, and I love the pitch clock. We should do a Fightful Goldeneye tournament when it drops. I'm terrible at it, but you know what? I'm not opposed to it. I think anything like that would be good. Thoughts about starting a fantasy football podcast? We do the Fightful Football Weekly, hosted by Rob Wilkins already. Please check that out on Overbooked. I think you guys would like it. Brighton says, I know it's a backstage show, but I saw you quote something to WrestleVotes about the titles. In your chance, what is a greater chance of Mania? What has a greater chance? Roman walks into Mania with one or both belts. If they want to get a title off of him, it's not hard to get a title off of him. Do a goddamn triple threat match. Say, here's a Raw talent. Here's a SmackDown talent. It's for one title. It's very easy. They just need to do one title. Am I still considering launching a Discord? Yes. I was not able to this month. I got to learn the platform, right? Like, more than ever, I'm leaning more into doing scoops and podcasts and then expanding Fightful as opposed to hiring, firing, etc. But yeah, that's something that I've thought about, along with Fightful Select Espanol, which would translate our stories. Is there a Facebook Fightful group? Yes, there are. There's a couple. There's one that's just absolute garbage that I took over from somebody else, but we do have a page. So please follow us there. Also, we're on TikTok. Roman Cody night one, Roman Brock night two, or Roman Rock night two. Like, man, you can't risk him getting hurt though, right? Because if you screw that up and he gets hurt, you don't have the biggest match in WWE since Rock Cena. Does Overbooked have an RSS feed? Yes, it does. Also, I want to put over our friend Cher Delaware. Strong Style was such a good show. I finally got to watch it last night. And she's one of my best friends. And I got to see her do something that very clearly was in her wheelhouse and that she liked to do. And Joel Pearl was also there. But it's such a good idea for a show, like looking at the fashion surrounding these big pay-per-view days. And we would see some of the looks that were there. It's a highly talked about topic on social media, like especially in Stan Twitter. So I really, really dig that. I'm glad they did it. They did incredible numbers over there. So I thought that they did really good. They did 1,200 viewers. So check that out. Strong Style over on Fightful Overbooked. Lots of good stuff over there. Coexisting with Robin Maggie is killing it over there, and you all get that extra show here as well. Lots of good traffic over on the Fightful Overbooked channel. So, guys, thank you all so much. I can't remember the last time I did over 40 minutes on a backstage report, but listen, this Fightful Select is something that I care immensely about, and I want to know what kind of shows you guys want to see on Fightful Select, and maybe we'll add them. If it adds subscriptions or retains subscriptions, I would be very, very happy to add stuff. Apparently, we're getting Ask Rhapsody this week. That makes me very happy because I can delay my Q&A show by probably a day. But thank you guys so much. Until next time, we're out.